Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm talking about one of my favorite things, the art of the tease. Plus, I'm answering your sex and relationship questions. Topics include teasing, what it means, why it's hot, and ways to do it upright. What to do when doggy style is your partner's go-to position, but it just feels too detached for you. How to maintain desire in a long-term relationship because, hey, the honeymoon phase doesn't last forever. And whether or not you should tell your partner about your sexually fluid past. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com and find us on all social media. It is Sex with Emily across the board. All right, guys, hope you enjoy the show and Happy New Year. We're going to talk about the art of the tease. Like, why is teasing so hot when it comes to sex? I think a lot of it kind of builds anticipation and arousal, and we're like, oh, like kind of delaying gratification, which in theory I'm thinking about, it's like, that doesn't sound great in theory. In some ways I'd be like, it's hard for me not to eat the frosting off the cake sometimes and then delaying satisfaction. And then I thought about talking about the tease that some people might think of, because I've heard some guys say, oh, I don't want to be teased. And then we thought, well, I think that first off, when we hear tease, we might think tease isn't great. When we were younger, we're saying, like, don't tease your sister, don't tease your friends. Mm-hmm. That's not, you know, like, don't be a tease sexually, don't be a tease. Right. So I think that maybe people don't really understand the psychological and what actually, like, the art of the tease, why this is something that can be so hot. I thought, well, let's discuss this, you guys. It's I feel like for many times, though, okay, here's the thing. To explain the tease the best way I can is, for example, why I love it is I've been with one of my best tease experiences, right? So I was with a guy, and we were playing with my, my under the bed restraints, the sport sheets. And so, like, I'm restrained. And I'm trying to find a blindfold on, probably. I think I had a blindfold on. And it was like, okay, you can't. And he said to me, so I can't move. I think I didn't have a blindfold on. This is going to come important later.
Okay.
Okay. Pay attention. And he was like, I couldn't touch myself. I had both my legs in and my hands. And he was like, you can't touch yourself. Like, I'm in charge of your pleasure. Like, you can't touch yourself. And then he was just sort of kissing me and touching my neck and, like, playing with me and, like, moving. It was like, at first it was kind of sensual. And then he started playing with my breasts. And he stayed there, my nipples and teasing. And he stayed there, right, for a while. Like, and he was like, he's like, you know, then it gets into like, you could have your own version here, but like, I want, you know, beg for it. Like, I want you to be like, I want you to be into this. Like, I want you to, you know, ask for it. I was like, I am so, like, so what happens is you get super turned on. And someone plays, you're like, wow. Like, and then you actually are more aroused. And I'm more like, please. And he's like, no, you can't orgasm yet. You can't touch. I was like, I wanted him to touch me so badly. And he wouldn't. He's like, play. And it felt amazing, though, because then he's like kissing my neck. And then he's teasing, right? Mm. Coming a little bit closer to me, like kind of waving his hand over my like vulva and kind of tickling my thighs and like moving down my body, like playing, but wouldn't quite touch me yet. No clitoris, not going anywhere yet, but like just teasing and kissing. And I've had other times where it's a little more like playful and rough. Like there's like a little bit of spanking or there's, you can't come till I tell you to. You're like, delay, and it's just hot. It's teasing. It's anticipation. The other thing I thought about was that when I've, these things have happened to me, I don't often share all my details, my sexy details, but that in the times that I've had teasing is that it's so hot because it's intimate too in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Like it creates, even if it's more rough, because you feel more connected because you're engaged in a power exchange and in a play with your partner that you're not worried about if I can't orgasm or not. You're not worried about if you're hard or if like you look how your left boobs looks. Like you're not, you're just like in a thing.
In the moment.
It's delayed, right. And so I just liked that they were...
that they were prolonging
that
the pleasure.
They were staying on friggin' nipples. This is all about conditioning. So I believe that our conditioning, either through what we've seen on TV or culture, or when we were young, we had sex this way where we just move right through it fast. Like we just, we're conditioned to, there's nothing about sex that is slow. Like either it's because our parents were going to walk in, you know, in high school or like we're masturbating. Like I think sex is always feels fast. And we know how a lot of men ejaculate eventually is fast. So for many men, I think that, or I've heard them say like, oh, I don't want to be teased or what if you don't come back? I remember Menace, who's co-host on my show for many years. He's like, I don't want a girl to like tie me up and tease me. Like, what if she steals my wallet, doesn't come back? I'm like, dude, that's, who are you dating there? But I think there's a certain like, again, allowing yourself to kind of rest into it, say, this is going to feel something different. It's something new. I like the idea of mixing up the way, like even teasing lips.
Mm. What do you
kissing,
mean?
Kissing, nibbling. Ooh, nibbling
okay.
on the lips.
I gotcha.
I feel like a little nibble. And the other thing about nibbling the lips, upper lip, bottom lip's hot, the tongue. And then you can nibble, suck the tongue. But you can also nibble, like have wet lips, like nibble all over.
Are
your body's
still,
teasing.
Still a thing?
I hope not.
I mean, I don't like them. Really? But
I mean, I don't, yeah.
That's what I started thinking of when you're like the neck and I was like, oh, is that like a hickey thing?
I will say that I try not to give people hickeys, but like I'm super into like sucking and biting and things like that. So I try to just move it down the body, not on the neck so it's visible, but I try to do it on like maybe the shoulder because I just really like it. And in the moment, I don't hear any complaints. It's only
no
afterwards.
Complaints.
Only afterwards they're like, you left a mark on me. I was like, why didn't you say something?
Right. Because in the moment, when
you
passion,
know what's happening. Like, we all know what's happening.
Maybe they said, ouch, you didn't hear.
Thank you. Yeah, I just put on my noise-canceling headphones.
You're like, can't hear you. I'm in the zone. I've left sex wounds before. Take care.
Oh, yeah. If we want to take... We have Gary, 50, in Colorado.
I just like his question.
Yeah. Should a man go down on a woman before or after penetration?
We only have a minute, Gary, but I think it's a good question. Thanks for calling Sex with Emily.
My question is, do women prefer men to go down on them before penetration or after penetration?
You know, I can't speak for every woman on the planet, but what I can say is, first of all, they appreciate that you go down on them. But what I think is the most efficient and fun for the whole family is fun for everyone is actually going down first. Like going, if you go down on her, turn her on, she has her orgasm, she's warmed up. And then you penetrate her, and then perhaps she can have another one, you know, or she just warmed up. Because for many women, when you start with penetration, you have to have some kind of warm-up, Gary. So if it's not oral, she still has to be aroused. So it's through your fingers or maybe through making out or teasing, playing with her nipples. So you got it. So before penetration, I believe, I'm not going to speak for every woman, but for many women, they're going to want some warm-up. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Gary.
Thanks for calling. I like that question.
I like anytime. There's oral happening. I want it intermittently throughout the entire thing.
Yeah, that's the other thing. The best thing is when it's like sex isn't linear.
Yeah.
We often think of like, I often think like I want to get rid of the foreplay and the intercourse and then the aftercare. Because the kind of sex that can be really exciting and different and novel is when it's oral and then you penetrate and then you go down each other after. Maybe you switch to 69 and then you go back to having sex. You can even stop and have dinner. I don't know, in the room. Like, you could eat, nibble, and then go back.
I do like
why rush the, we got to pound, orgasm, and then we can do everything. When that's the ultimate tease, is when you don't, neither one of you climax, and it's foreplay, and it's fun, and you've got time. Like, what is the goddamn fucking rush with sex? Everyone's in a hurry to get the work and we can get it all done. And I think a slow sex movement makes a lot of sense. That if we slow down, everyone relax, we'd have a lot better sex, a lot more pleasure. Lot more orgasms. So think differently about the way you think about sex. If you're bored with your sex life where it's been the same thing over and over and over again, just do one thing differently this week. You know, like maybe if you've never used lube, you can use lube. Or if you always go really fast, go 5 times slower than you usually do. Or if you rush right to sex, maybe you can like nibble, you know, do some nibbling and some teasing and some playing. You'll bring back the fun, the spark.
I feel like guys don't usually, or not typically, I'm making a generalization here, tease first. But when you do it to them, you're like, no, you can't come in yet. They fucking die.
They do.
They love it.
They do. You're right. It's for everyone. I'm like, yes. Yes. Do it, you guys.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into your calls.
There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
We have Crystal, 35, in Wisconsin, who wants to comment on doggy style.
Thank you, Crystal from Wisconsin. We need to hear from the Midwest. Tell me everything.
Okay, so here's my thing. My husband and I, that's a big position that we use because it works well because you can get deeper, you can feel it better. But we got into it just kind of kept going on and going on that I felt disattached. Like I could have just
Right.
met anyone
Right.
or anything. You know, so it got hard for me to where, although I enjoy the position and the way that it feels, I felt
the intimacy.
So distant emotionally.
Yeah, it feels less intimate because you're like, is he just pounding? I could leave the room. He could be pounding into a glory hole.
Anything.
Right. You know, men like to put their penises in things. I just thought about that. But Crystal, I get it. I feel like also if it's the only, if it's the only position you're doing, like they're like, let's do go to doggy, and you were married for a while, you're like, yeah, come on, you know, I'm not feeling
well,
it.
That's the
yeah,
thing. We just,
look at my
well,
face.
Obviously married 9 years, 11 total. You get into that, the same thing. But we have an issue where it's kind of hard for him to keep an erection. So then that position works best for him.
Yep.
But
so, yeah, that's
know,
the.
It's difficult for me.
That is the position that works best. I want to hear from you guys. Like, what is your take on doggy style? Pro, con? Does it work for you? Why do you love it? 888-94-STARS. But Crystal, the thing is, I feel like, so I get it. And a lot of times for men, that is their go-to. They're like, I'll do everything else, but I get the got to end in doggy. So Crystal, what do you know what you need? Like you said that it doesn't work for you. I hope you're getting your needs before he flips you over.
We're working on it.
Good.
We're working on it. You know, it's been, like I said, we've been together for quite a while, and it's always almost been an issue.
Okay.
So we've tried different things, and we, you know, so it just, I told him eventually, it just, like, because of the disconnected feeling, I said, he just now gives me more connection beforehand. He runs his hands across my body, so I know that, you know, he's thinking of me and we're in this together.
Right. Okay, good. I'm glad you asked for that. And are you having an orgasm?
Yes.
Awesome.
At least if it doesn't happen that way, he's always nice enough to make sure I finish at the end.
Yes,
too.
Of course. I hope so. Or you could come first. That's awesome. Thank you, Crystal. Thanks for sharing.
That would be nice.
Thanks for reporting. Yes, dude. That's okay, Crystal. I didn't want to go off on it, but I will. You guys, she comes first. And I'm only saying it because it's easier. I mean, put the time in first because it's like most men are going to ejaculate. Like you will. It's going to happen. You're going to have your orgasm. I know there's challenges. But the majority for women, it typically doesn't happen through your penis. Only 20% of women are going to orgasm through intercourse. So she comes first just means it won't happen the other way. So if we're all going to orgasm and leave together happy, it's 50-50. Just do that first. And then do your orgasm. That's all I'm saying. And it would be nice, Crystal, talk to your partner. Tell him that's you'd prefer that.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I was like, he's nice enough too.
I heard that language. I almost, she wasn't calling for advice. She was calling to report. But yeah, he's nice enough too. That's part of his job as your husband and your sexual partner. Part of all of our jobs and relationships is to make sure that we're pleased sexually, that we are our best sexual advocates, but also that we're bringing pleasure to our partners. It's part of the whole game. We're all in this together.
We have Lily, who's 22, Minnesota. She wants to know how to keep the passion alive in a long-term relationship.
Hey, Lily. Thanks for calling. How can I help you?
Hi, Emily. Yeah.
Hi. What's up, Lily?
So, my question was just basically, how can you keep long-lasting desire going in a long-term relationship?
Such a good question, Lily. Know that it takes some work, you know, you got to prioritize it. And the first thing you got to do is you got to talk about it with your partner and just say, what would great sex look like for both of us? And talk about your needs and what you want in the bedroom. Have you done that? Are you in a long-term relationship now? Assuming so.
It's been 2 years only.
No, but so that's long. That's long, Lily.
Either, I guess.
Lily, that's long. No, listen to me. There's something called the honeymoon phase. Yes, listen, 6 months to 2 years tops. At about 2 years, between that period for most couples, this first 6 months is like everything's amazing, right? And then it still is amazing for about 6 months to 2 years. And then you're like, wow, it's not like it was at the beginning. At the beginning, we just wanted to rip each other's clothes off and have sex all the time. And it was new and hot. And then we get a little bored. And then we're like, what do I do now? Does it mean I should leave them? Oh, that guy next door looks really hot, you know? So that's what happens, Lily. You're totally where you should be. And so how to keep it interesting and how to keep it spicy, because what happens is we just get bored because we miss the novelty from the beginning. Remember at the beginning, you didn't know he was going to touch you that way and kiss you. And so now you got to talk to him about it. Have you tried to talk to him about, have you guys ever talked about sex?
Yes, we have.
Okay. How'd that go?
I mean, he's like the one who's more open-minded, but like, even though we've talked about it, there doesn't seem to be any changes when we actually have sex.
Okay. Well, what do you want? How did that go? So what change would you like to see in your sex world?
I guess, like, kind of more, like, different things, such as, like, I don't know, tying, like, my hands up or, like, yeah, other things than just, like, the regular, oh, doggy style or, like, I mean, I like doggy style, but, like, I guess I just want a little
bit more.
You want
something different, or maybe more kissing again or foreplay. Okay, so, Lily, so foreplay is, like, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about trying something kinky and new. So here's the thing. Even if you said to him, Lily, I want you to tie me up, but it's not happening. Do you know why it's not happening? Because he doesn't know how, and he doesn't really know what you mean by it. And he's probably never tied anyone up before. So what would be fun is if when you guys like aren't in the bedroom, you could say, well, let's watch this. You know, I don't know how you guys learn, but we've got some great blogs on our site. Mm-hmm. You go to sexlemmy.com. You can go, what do they call Jamie? The beginner bondage,
beginner BDSM
at sexwithemily.com. Or you could find a scene in porn that you feel like together, like this would kind of be what I'm talking about here, that would be hot for me. And then you just kind of, you know, play it out. You can use a necktie, you can buy some bondage tape. We have some, you know, we have a bunch of stuff on our website. We talk about this a lot. So Lily, I think kind of narrowing in on what you think is hot, what, like, because sometimes he just doesn't get it, right? Uh-huh. And maybe, so maybe for you too, you're like, I don't really know. I just saw it once and it looked hot. So maybe you guys explore together. You read about it. You look at it. You listen to a bunch. I've done, you know, a lot of podcasts about it called Sex with Emily, same name. And just also make sure you're having your pleasure. You said that he's more open. I'm wondering if you, how open you are, like, are you having pleasure? Are you having orgasms?
I only have orgasms if, like, I use, like, the vibrator or my own hands. But, like, when I use my own hands, like, I'm wearing my underwear. So there's, like, that kind
friction.
Of barrier.
Yeah, it's hot.
Friction. And I think my body's more used to that. Because when I've tried to orgasm with just, like, my bare clit, I don't know how to, like, it just doesn't happen. I don't know how to do it.
No, of course. No, Lily. So that's exactly where you should be. And you're 22. So this is such a good time. Well, this happens in all ages, but especially at 22, Lily, we typically have our way. Like you learned as a, you know, a teenager, the first time you masturbated, and we do it the same way until we learn a new way. And there's kind of a transition period from sex with ourselves and sex with another person. And so that's also why a lot of women have a harder time orgasming with their partner, because they don't really know how to explain it. And I think it's not going to work. So really it's just like retraining your mind to kind of open up with him and like show him what feels good to you, maybe with his mouth. Use some lubricant. Lubricant's really helpful for women. Just a few drops on your clitoris can help you, you know, kind of have more orgasms. Also, have you tried having sex with your underwear on? Like just moving it to the side?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
And that didn't work either? So I think that first off, it's nothing like you could teach him how to use his fingers on you. You could use the vibrator with him when you're having sex. Like a lot of women, most women don't come through a penis. They come through touch, through a mouth, through kissing or through a toy. Like kissing, fingers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Kissing, you know, mouth in all different forms. But the penis isn't where all the magic happens. For 20% of women, they orgasm that way. So have some conversations. Do some research. Listen to the show. Listen to the podcast. We have a lot of them wherever you find them, and you guys will figure it out. But just keep talking to them about it. You're not doing anything wrong. You're in the learning process, and you can kind of learn new ways to pleasure, okay? Thanks, Lily.
Okay.
You got this. Keep me posted. Yeah, you guys. It's a process. We all have to learn it. Like we are not, however you're having pleasure now or having your orgasm, that's amazing. I'm so glad you can orgasm, and you could keep orgasming like that forever. But the cool thing is we just have to, there's so many other ways to kind of touch yourself and to learn to explore that you could have a lot of different kinds of orgasms, but a lot of us just don't experiment and take the time to like masturbate or be with our partner without the goal of orgasm. Like let's just explore and let's have fun together and figure out what feels good. And that's when it can happen. But we're so in our heads, it's only going to happen this particular way. I have to be doing this thing with my tongue, or, you know, with my hand and the thing. But you can kind of move out of that by retraining yourself.
Okay, we have Robert, 50, in Illinois. He wants to know if he should tell his fiance that he used to be in a relationship with a man.
Hey, Robert. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Emily. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Okay, so tell me about your history. So were you just with them for a little bit, or what's going on?
Yeah, and so, like I said, I'm 50 years old, newly engaged. We're planning to get married on Thanksgiving Day, so a couple months from now. And my question for you is, how do I or do I tell my fiancé that about 20 years ago, for about a year, I was in a relationship with a man?
Well,
I lived in a different state. Yeah.
So is there a part of you now that still wants to be in a relationship with a man, or do you still ever fantasize about it?
I don't fantasize about it. I think one day I just woke up and I realized that it wasn't the life that I wanted, and I started exclusively dating women, and I've never looked back.
Really? You've never looked back? Okay. So
I've never looked back.
Okay.
No.
I think, and you want to tell her because this was a part of your life. I mean, I think it could be a great way to open up a conversation just about your sex life and what you learned from it, and that you were with a man and what you learned, and then how you actually realize that you love sex with women and you want to have a really healthy sex life with her. And so that's why you're sharing that. And maybe you could ask her to share some things with you about her sexual history. Have you guys had any of those talks about, like, I mean, I think it's even interesting when finding out when our partner first orgasmed, or whether, you know, did they masturbate? What turns her on? What gives her the most pleasure? You know, what's your sexual future going to look like? So to kind of not make it like it's a confessional, but more like something you're like, I want to tell you this because I think you should know. And I realized then that it was important to me to have a healthy sex life. And I'm telling you this because I want us to have that. Unless you guys have already covered all of this.
Well, no, we have covered it. We've got a very healthy sex life, and but I've never discussed that because I just did not want her to think that at some point I would no longer be committed to her.
Okay, so, and your reason for telling her is because you want her to just know everything about you.
No, I don't really think I want to tell her.
Oh,
but I
okay.
think that it might come out, and if it came out, if somehow something from my past surfaced,
right,
then I think that would be a real betrayal.
Yeah, I understand this. I understand this. So I think if you feel like you have to tell her, then I think you should tell her. But what I'm saying is I would have a conversation about, you know, you said to me you're afraid that she would worry that you're going to leave her for a man. So I would think that. I mean, if someone just told me that, I'd be like, okay, so that's why I just asked you, Robert. I said, do you still fantasize about it? Is it still something you think about? That was my first question too as well. So I think that, I mean, in telling her, you could say, I just want you to know this, but I've always, you know, and since then I've been only wanting to be with women. I think you're just going to have to, you know, let her know that you're telling her because you feel like things will come out, but maybe you're even proud of it. It was a time in your life where you learned a lot about yourself. So you know what I mean? But I think that, you know,
I think that's a very open-minded and a healthy and productive way to think about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I tell you, a lot of people would say it's black and white and you can't be attracted to both men and women.
Yeah.
And you can't have one phase of your life bleed over into another. And I think that's a very healthy way to look at it.
Yeah, I try, you know, that's how I look at sex. I am not judging you. I'm very sex positive. I'm listening to what you're saying. I'm asking questions. I mean, you could let her know that, yeah, I think that is a healthy way to do it, and that you were experimenting when you were younger and that this is where you're at right now. So, and
yeah.
I think that, and then just kind of open up the dialogue, and I think it will open up a lot for you guys. And I think, I'm glad that works for you. Let me know how it goes. Okay, Robert, we're here every night, and congratulations on the engagement. You know, I know what he's saying, though, and you guys can call me with anything, 888-947-8277. There are many schools of thought that, like, well, once, you know, he's gay, then he's gay, or he's bisexual. And then some people think bisexuality doesn't even exist. I'm here to say there are no sex police. There is no, like, rules around this stuff. There aren't. Everyone gets to decide right now. But I feel like if he's truly not, you know, attracted to men, and the other thing I would say is, like, I want to, you know, if he was, like, my patient and I was seeing him, I'd say, like, are there other sexual fantasies that he has? Has he just, like, repressed it? Are there, you know, but it sounds like he's pretty clear on that he only hasn't been with a man in 30 years. So I would say that we could definitely change. I've experimented with women. I haven't lately. I'm not near, probably, I don't know, 8 years. I don't really think about it. I think about men more than women, but I could go back. I mean, the same thing is for men. I mean, and I believe that we're all, like Kinsey said, we are all sort of on the sexual spectrum.
Yeah.
And you can go, you could be a 2, you could be a 3, you go back to being a 2, you could be a 5. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, that's sexual health. That's life. Understand it, you guys.
We love when you subscribe and you review the show wherever you listen. I think it really helps everywhere on every platform. So you could actually do that right now. If you're on your phone listening, just subscribe. Give us 5 stars. We like it. Especially in iTunes, it helps. Going back to some more reviews from 10 years ago, maybe, you know, I was still learning. So, hey, we love it. It helps us and you guys have really been doing that. So thank you. And also sign up for our newsletter. It is great. We give great newsletter. So I've been told. I feel good about it. All right, guys, Happy New Year. I'm so excited to go into the 15th year of this podcast with all of you in 2020. Thanks for subscribing, listening. Thanks for just being you. And here's to an incredible new year. Thanks to my incredible team, Ken, Kristen, Alisa, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.